the book of Isaiah, the 63rd chapter. We'll be reading verses 7 through 10. Page 767 in your Schofield Reference Bible. We'll read responsively verses 7 through 10 of the 63rd chapter of Isaiah. And let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their Savior. And this is the text verse I'm reading now. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. And let's pray. Lord, you're so good to give us this place and this time and the ability to meet here. Thank you for all the good people that are here now in this place. And Father, we would ask you to meet with us again. Bless us with your presence. Bless us with your help and your power. And help us to come away from this place today with something that's going to help us and going to see us through these important, crucial days. We pray that you'd bless our preacher in a special way. Once again, anoint him with thy power. In Jesus' name, amen.
It may be that up until now, all of your days have been noon times, but 'twill not always be so. There will come your midnights. It may be that up until this time, all of your life has been sunshine. Will not always be so. There will come the shadows. This morning, I want you, if you live somewhat in the shadows, I want you to listen carefully. I believe this passage and this truth will help you. But to those of you who've only known sunshine, the tears have been few for you, and the laughter has been often. You need to prepare yourself for the day when the trials and burdens come. I've been humming that little song really lately. So beautiful. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. Ah, that's a beautiful truth. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him. This morning, I want to talk to you on this subject. The angel of his presence, or, as translated, when Jesus comes himself. No, not his second coming. When Jesus himself decides to take a matter in hand, when he comes himself. I read for you just this passage. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. I like that. You've never had an affliction that didn't afflict him too. You've never shed a tear without him shedding one too. You've never felt a pain without him feeling one too. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. And here's the text. And the angel of his presence saved them. The angel of his presence. What it means is this. When Jesus himself came. Heavenly Father, would you please give me far beyond what is mine naturally? For I'm about to speak to several thousands of people, and I am but human. Sometimes I feel I'm the weakest of the weak, the poorest of the poor. And I certainly, at best, am man, and I need your help, else my people will go away empty today. This is the only morning service on July 8, 1979, that these people will ever have. So my responsibility is so great. Would you please help me? Amen. Would you give me your careful attention? When a person is saved, whether he be a child, a teenager, or an adult, God discharges an angel to his care or for his care. You do not know this, but if you're saved, there is a particular angel that God has given responsibility of ministering to you, of watching over you, of protecting you, of helping you, and finally, of escorting you into the presence of Christ Himself. God has given to you a guardian angel. Then, there are millions of other angels who help us in times of special need. I do not plan to get spooky today, but if God could open our eyes this morning, we would not believe what we would see in this building. Do you recall the time when Elisha was in Dothan and the enemy came to that city and encamped with mighty armies around the city? And Elisha's servant came and said, "Master, the armies are encamped round about us. What are we going to do?" And Elisha wasn't concerned. And his servant said, "Master, the armies of the enemy are all around this city. What are we going to do?" And Elisha looked up to God and said, "God, show him. Show him." And the servant looked up and God pulled back the curtain. And there were angels, myriads of them, armies of God, that were there that the servant could not see. If you could see with spiritual eyes this morning, you would see an angel standing beside me, protecting me. He stays worn out all the time because he has such a big job in protecting me. But if we could this morning, and don't think I'm going to get real spooky. I'm just not one of that. I'm not a real spooky kind of Christian. But if we could this morning see through spiritual eyes, we probably had 200,000 in Sunday school today. I think I'll turn that report in. I'm estimating the number of angels that are here. But really, honestly, folks, there are hundreds and thousands of angels in this room right now. If you will feel carefully, you might feel their wings tickling your cheek or your ear right now. How about this one? "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about those that love him." Now, you may not have gotten old enough yet to appreciate that. Or you may not have had enough of life's storms or clouds to appreciate that. But after you faced the wall a few times and after the clouds have hung so low you could not even know there was a sunshine above the clouds, after that's happened for a while, such scriptures as this begin to loom bigger and brighter. A while ago, I got an idea for a sermon. I wrote it down. Sermon: "I have changed." You say, "Well, the house has changed through these years." I'm going to preach one of these days on that subject. I have changed. And one of the ways I've changed is I have learned with David to say, "I will praise him more and more." I spend more time in private praise than I've ever spent before. I spent more time private than clapping my hands and rejoicing than I've ever spent before. Why? I've served him longer. He's been with me more closely. I fought more battles for him and through him and with him.
No wonder David could say, I will praise him more and more. And the older I get, the more I like I used to like the scriptures best. You know, I can do all things. I still like that. Or, there's nothing too hard for God. I still like that.
Ah, but I like the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I like the angel of the Lord encampeth round about those that love him. Or how about this one? He shall give his angels charge concerning thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Or how about this one? In the presence of God are a thousand of angels.
So God has his special messengers, his special emissaries, who are discharged to help us, lead us, strengthen us, and protect us. You recall, was an angel that told Mary that she was going to conceive and bring forth the Christ child. It was a choir of angels who sang the song to the shepherds concerning the coming of the baby Jesus. It was angels who warned Lot of the coming destruction of the city of Sodom. Angels it was who fed Elijah with food from heaven. Angels ministered to Jesus in his hour of temptation. 'Twas an angel who came to Joseph and told him not to be afraid to marry Mary, for that which was conceived in her was of the Holy Ghost. She was not unfaithful to him. 'Twas an angel who spoke to Philip and said, arise and go to Gaza. And then an angel led him to speak to the Ethiopian eunuch. 'Twas an angel who ministered to Hagar and Ishmael when they were cast out of the home of Abraham and Sarah. Yet, though usually, when we're in trouble, God discharges angels for our keeping and our protection, on occasion, there comes a time when Jesus himself comes to do the job. There are times when your burden is too heavy and Jesus says, Father, I'm going to go myself. There are times when he says to Gabriel, Gabriel, this is a job too big for you. One of my children is in dire need. One of my own is facing death. One of my own has had his life crushed and his heart broken. I will go myself on this errand. When Jacob left home as a lad, first night, he's away from home, homesick and lonely. He went to sleep with a stone or a rock for a pillow. And while he was sleeping, he dreamed. And there was a ladder, and angels of God going up and down that ladder. But the New Testament teaches us that that was Jesus there. Jesus said, Father, one of my young people is discouraged. He's just left home. I'm not going to send an angel. Gabriel, this is not for you. Michael, this is not for you. Archangels, this is not for you. Seraphim, step aside. Cherubim, no, this is not for you. I myself am going to go and be a comfort to young Jacob. When Joshua waited for the battle, tomorrow they must conquer the land. Tomorrow they face insurmountable odds. Tomorrow they fight a battle that is humanly impossible for them to win. Joshua stands at night alone, walking and praying and asking for help and seeking wisdom and God's leadership. And all of a sudden, the Bible says there was an unseen captain. Who was that unseen captain? That was Jesus himself. Jesus said, my leader, chosen leader, Joshua, is discouraged. And tomorrow he faces a battle. And he is in need of special help. Jesus said, Michael, Gabriel, this is not for you. Archangels, seraphim, cherubim, this is not for you. I am going myself. Or, as he said, in their affliction was he afflicted, and the angel of his presence, or the messenger of his presence. The Israelites were in bondage, and they were lonely, and they had been delivered from Egypt and crossed the Red Sea. And for 40 years, God's people wandered in loneliness and in need and without homes and without their homeland, awaiting for that time when they would enter the promised land. And God said, I'm going to go myself. I'm going to go with my Shekinah presence in the very middle of those people. This is a job. I'm going to go myself. When the Hebrew children were in the fiery furnace, because they would not bow down and worship that image of gold, Endura. Jesus said, this is no job for an angel. I'll go myself. When Stephen was stoned outside the city of Jerusalem, Jesus said, I'll go myself. And Stephen looked up and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And Jesus said, angels, I'll go myself and take care of this job. When John was exiled to Patmos, Jesus said, I'll go myself. And when Jacob came to Jabbok, on the morrow he's going to apologize to his brother and face the arrow, the dagger of death perhaps. Jesus said, I'll go to Jabbok myself. And there Jacob wrestled with him. When Moses was in the desert, alone, for all those 40 years, Jesus said, I'll go myself. I love that scripture where it said Moses endured as seeing him who's invisible. Oh, let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, you sit in my study, and you have this army of people marching through my study like a mighty army day after day, week after week, and they take their tears and pour them out on my carpet, and they sob until they have to say, wait a minute, I'm sorry, I can't talk right now. And I sit there and wait, and I see their bodies as they heave and sigh, and as they breathe deeply, and his tears drop. And say something, folks. You're not going to make it unless you have a personal relationship with Jesus yourself. People say, how do you bear the load you bear? If you let me just say it kindly, I walk with God. That's how I bear it. How did Moses take it? How could you take the affliction? How could you take all the burden? How could you carry your load? And Moses said, I endured. Not because of the power of positive thinking. Not because of possibility thinking. Moses said, I endured. Here's how I endured. God pulled back his curtain, and I saw him who was invisible. Now, I don't care who you are, you're not going to make it. Because you come to First Baptist Church of Hammond, you've got to have a personal walk with your God. And you've got to know God, and you've got to see him who is invisible. That's the only way you can make it. When a dear wife is lonely and discouraged, God sends an angel to minister to her. A little housewife is tired and weary with the toil of a busy day. God sends an angel to minister to her. A little housewife is lonely, doesn't know how to make ends meet, and she tries to pinch her pennies and seems like she can't take care of the needs of the family. God sends an angel to minister to her. When that little housewife sits beside a casket and she looks in the cold, silent face and kisses lips that cannot return a kiss who once kissed her, and looks at lips that once opened and said, I love you, Mommy, and sees those little hands folded across a body that are now chalky white that used to pat Mommy on the cheek. Jesus says, angels, this is no job for you. I'll go myself. I'll go myself. And Jesus comes and sits beside the casket, and you see him who is invisible. When a widow rears her children alone, God sends angels to help her. When she needs food, and God bless these dear little ladies who are rearing their boys and girls by themselves. You don't understand what a load they carry. Some of you folks wonder how you can live on $14,000 or $15,000 a year. Boy, I know little widows in this room right now rearing children on $4,000 and $5,000 a year. When they have a tough time rearing their children, the Lord Jesus sends an angel. And when they need some food to feed the children, the Lord Jesus sends an angel. Or when they become lonely and frustrated and the husband doesn't come in at night, and they have to be a mommy and a daddy, and they wish they had somebody to help them to train the children, Jesus sends an angel. When the little widow comes to die and she faces the valley of the shadow of death, Jesus says, angel, this is no job for you. I'll go myself. I'll go myself. My mother's 92 years of age, will be in a few days, a few months. And I'm aware that if the natural happens, she'll go to heaven before another 50 years passed. Anyway, I know that. And I know someday I'll sit in a motel room and the phone will ring. I know that. But my mother doesn't have to fear, because when she comes to meet God,
The Lord Jesus is going to say, this is no job for an angel. And the Lord Jesus is going to come himself and make a personal appearance and carry her into the presence of her Savior and those two little girls that are waiting for their mommy to get to heaven. When a couple rears a child, God often sends angels to help them. When they're confused, child rearing, God often sends angels to help them. When they're in financial need, God discharges angels to help them. But there comes a time when that couple sits outside the doctor's office, wringing their hands and waiting. The doctor walks out and shakes his head and says the tests show the baby or the child has leukemia. The Lord Jesus says, angels, this is no job for you. I'll go myself. The angel of his presence, Jesus, will make a personal appearance. You don't suffer by yourself at the bedside of that little one. Jesus comes himself. When a man supports his family, angels help him on the job. When a man is weary after a busy day at the steel mills, angels come and give him strength to raise his shoulders and renew his strength by the next morning so he can go again and bear the load again to support his family. Angels help him. When he has trouble at work, angels come to his side. When that man, after a lifetime of working, is suddenly seized by a stroke, and all of a sudden he can't pronounce his words, and all of a sudden he tries to walk, and his leg falls beneath him, tries to say, I love you, and can't, and tries to say, I'm okay, and can't. The Lord Jesus says, Jack Belby, I'm coming in person, buddy. Jack, no angel sits beside you this morning. Jesus himself sits back there. Why? He says, I'll go myself. I'll go myself. The angel of his presence. When a mother feeds her child, Jesus often sends a special angel. When she cooks and sews and sets up late at night and her body is weary and tired, Jesus often dispenses angels. But when she sits and waits at the hospital, Jesus goes himself. When a wife cleans and cooks and sews, Jesus sends an angel. When one day her husband comes in and says, I'm leaving the family. And all of a sudden the whole rug of the future is pulled out from beneath her. And the husband walks away. Jesus says, I'll go myself. I'll go myself. This is no job for an angel. I'll go myself. When a child plays on the playground, Jesus sends an angel. When a child studies for his test, Jesus sends an angel. When a child has to do his chores around the house, Jesus sends an angel. When that child sees his daddy walk out the door for the last time, never to live in the house again, and the child looks up to mommy and says, Mommy, why can't daddy stay here with us? And the child has to have a phone call, and daddy says, meet me at the store around the corner. The child goes to the store, and daddy says a few words and gives a few dollars. I've done it hundreds and hundreds of times. I've taken a $10 bill from my daddy and I've looked up and I said, Daddy, a $10 bill can't take your place. A $10 bill can't take your place. God sends an angel. But for the big needs, God or Jesus comes himself. All of this auditorium this morning, there are angels sitting beside people who need extra help. But there are a few places in this building this morning where Jesus sits. Jesus sits back here with Jack Belby. Angel sits up here, Brother John. John has two angels, guardian angels, to help him. One to keep him from stumbling, and the angel has been a failure in his life. Angel sits back here beside
Mrs. Erickson this morning?
Sure.
Over here on this side, the lady sits whose husband has cancer. They just found another one under his arm. They're giving him treatments again. Jesus says, this is no job for an angel. I'll go myself. In my life, I've had some battles. Angels came and helped. We watched a fire here destroy half of our buildings, and angels came. I know as well as I know I'm standing here. An angel came right here along this wall one night. And this entire building, only 3 months old, was filled with smoke. And the building connected to it with nothing but a wall over here was burning. And a building over here connected with nothing but a wall was burning. And at Deacon's meeting the week before, the insurance company had sent us a report. We had to have better doors between these buildings because these buildings would not keep a fire out. These doors would not keep a fire out. The insurance company said we had voted to spend $13,000 to just put some new doors between these two buildings in case of a fire. That was on Saturday night deacon's meeting, and the next Tuesday night, a fire destroyed this building and a fire destroyed that building. And this building here was new and shiny, just this part here, new and shiny. And I saw that three-month-old building for which we had sacrificed and prayed and worked for 2 years to put up. I saw water that thick, that deep, and I saw smoke. You couldn't see your hand in front of you hardly. And I saw firemen come and take big old axes and go back to those walls. Those walls we had sacrificed, and I saw them chop holes in those walls and go over here and squirt water inside this building. We sat out there and cried through the night. And I walked up here and put my hand on this wall right here, and I said, oh, God, spare this building. We've got to have this one. An angel came and made that door fireproof back there. And God kept this building for us. And though this one was destroyed and that was destroyed, we had nothing but smoke damage in here and some water damage. And God, why? An angel came. There have been a few times in my life when Jesus said, I'll go myself. 25 years ago, the nurse said, Reverend, you better stay beside little Becky all night tonight. She has a terrible case of double pneumonia and a relapse. And that's back in the days they didn't have all of this stuff they have now to fight it. And the nurse said, Reverend, said, be sure and keep your eyes on her fingers all night long. And if the fingers begin to turn blue, call for help immediately. And I stood there all night long and watched those fingers. Jesus said, I'll go myself. May 13, Mother's Day, 1950. When I stood beside the casket of my unconverted father, alcoholic dad, and reached down and touched his cold face and wondered where he was, I felt a hand on my arm. And I turned to see who it was that was gripping my arm. And there was nobody there. I know what it was. Jesus said, I'll go myself. I'll go myself. I'll go myself. I'll go myself. This morning, if you have battles to fight, the dear Lord will give angels to help you fight those battles. But there are times, Mrs. Walker, when Jesus says, I'm going to go myself. I'm going to go myself. This morning, there's one time especially. This is true. Every time a person who's not a Christian turns to Jesus, Jesus comes himself and meets you. When the prodigal son has been away in the hog pen of sin, had spent all, and said, I'll go back to my father. Servants at home have it better than I have it. I'll rise and go to my father. And the father, sitting on the front porch, looking down the old country trail, when the thief looked down and saw the son, father didn't say, servant, the son's coming home. Go meet him. Oh, no. He went himself. This morning, if you're sitting on this lower floor, if you'll leave that seat where you're sitting and come down these aisles in a few minutes, but by your coming you'll say, I'm giving my heart and life to Jesus as my Savior, and I'm going to receive His gift of eternal life, I'll guarantee you Jesus will meet you before you take 3 steps down that aisle. He'll go Himself. He'll go Himself. And if you're up in the balcony, I'll guarantee you, if you'll leave your seat and come toward those steps, you won't get to the steps before Jesus will come Himself. And He'll meet you. And He'll make you His child. How I thank God today for His watch care. How I thank God for His goodness. How I thank God for His mercy. No wonder David said, His mercy endures forever! And it does. Thank God. Thank God that there are times when the baby is grasping for breath, or when the husband is taking treatments for cancer, or the husband's body is still waiting for the opening of the mausoleum so he can be the first one buried in the mausoleum, and the wife goes to the table, or when the family looks at the little child every morning and wakes up and says, I hope it was a dream that he had leukemia, only to go and find his little face is swollen or her little hair is falling out. There are times when Jesus says, Gabriel, it's not for you. Michael, it's too big a job for you. I'll go myself. The angel of His presence. How wonderful. How wonderful. Our Heavenly Father.